from the shores of El Pacifico.
I know what I'll do.
Bill Hendrick.
I got a great idea. Since nobody can seem to answer this question for me, you guys at home, can you hear the fan that I have on behind me? I am asking my engineers, I'm asking everybody, can you guys hear this fan? Because one of the things I don't want is to be working in a noisy room. It's distracting for you, my listeners. Can you hear the fan? Folks, if you can hear the fan, please tweet us at RealPhilHenry, at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry, and maybe we can get an answer that way, if you can hear the fan or not. Because I don't know. I'm going to turn it off. I'm definitely afraid of too much noise in the room, you know. We have these marvelous, we've got a great studio here, but what we don't have, because we are down here at the El Pacifico, and that means we're just steps away from the marvelous Pacific Ocean with its beautiful sea breezes and all that baloney. We don't have air conditioning. It's kind of a dumb thing to have when you're that close to the marvelous sea breezes, blah, blah, blah. However, one of the things that we did not, take into consideration was we've got a lot of equipment in here, and equipment will tend to heat up a room. And so, you know, Bud, even though it's a nice, cool, beautiful, breezy, beachy, succulent day.
Yeah, well, all the equipment's really hot, especially those lights.
Yeah, the lights. We have lights for our video cast, which are big-ass lights, and they've got umbrellas that reflect the light, and so, and that's why I'm wearing shades half the time on the video cast. People think it's because I think that I'm the coolest thing since, canned beer. Well, maybe I do, but it's because of the brightness of the lights. Anyway, welcome back to our program. We thank Dr. Ron Tarner. And you know what, Tarner? You really are a sociopath, man. I was mentioning during the pre-show, and I was talking to Bud and to Robert about this, that I'm reading this book called The Sociopath Next Door. Man.
What is that anyway? Sociopath or something? What does that mean?
Sociopath is somebody with no conscience. Now, it doesn't mean that they're, ooh, I think I'm just going to be a... They didn't decide this. They were born this way. Some of these people show sociopathic tendencies when they're very young. Killing animals, doing horrible things to animals, torturing animals. They do this when they're young. They show no conscience toward living things. Now, that doesn't mean that that person's going to grow up to be a murderer. But what it does tell you, this is an abnormal personality. A lot of sociopaths can be directed gradually, slowly but surely in their lives to doing the right things, but they have to be reminded what the right things are, you know?
What about that one story you were talking about, that one guy?
Well, yeah, there's one guy, in other words, to give an example of what a sociopath is, and these are people, by the way, folks, that 96% of the human race is fine. 4%, they say, 4% of the human race is sociopathic. Now, you may think that that's a really small number, but if you consider this, 3.5% are anorexic. And we've had cover stories from here to there about anorexic this and anorexic that and anorexic men and anorexic women. And are you eating too much and are you eating too little? And she looks like she's fat, but don't tell her that because then she'll become anorexic. I mean, my God, we're all over anorexia. And it's like a percentage rate of 3.5%, 3.45 to be exact. There are fewer people that get colon cancer than are sociopathic. And yet we've got cover stories about colon cancer, and Katie Couric has got a thing shoved up her you-know-what, and she's got a camera up there, and that's the... Did you ever think that you didn't want to see Katie Couric's you-know-what, especially when there's a camera there? And on and on and on and on and on it goes. Fewer people have colon cancer, fewer people are anorexic than are sociopathic. In other words, no conscience. In other words, lying, stealing, and creating problems in life far beyond their numbers, far beyond what you would think their numbers could cause. Give you an example. A woman, this is a true case study from the doctor's book. This doctor, Dr. Martha Stout, wrote this book, The Sociopath Next Door. A woman's working as a hospital administrator, and she's talking to a man who has, up to that point, been institutionalized for paranoid and delusional thinking. However, he's been making progress. His doctor has recommended that he be released from the facility and that he go home with the proper medication, the proper therapy. He's doing better. And one of the things that these institutions require is that one of the caseworkers or the administrators sign off on this. Well, this poor man has been sent into an office of a woman who's a sociopath. This woman who is a hospital administrator hates the doctor that this guy has been seeing, thinks that that woman is better looking than her, gets more attention from men. Are you ready for this? This isn't immaturity, folks. No. Don't think that this is, oh, she didn't grow up or she's got... No, she's a sociopath. She has no feelings. So when the man says to her, you know, my doctor said I can get out soon. I'm making progress. She says, really? That's not what she told me. She told me that you were actually reversing, getting worse, and that we may have to keep you here. Now, to a person who is paranoid and delusional, that woman knew that what she was saying was going to create a horrible, horrible reversal of this man's progress. In fact, it might even drive into catatonia. Well, what did happen to this poor guy? He had to be put not only back in the institution, he had to be put in a locked ward. She did that on purpose because she wanted to discredit this doctor. Because this doctor that she wanted to discredit was better looking, got all the men, had a nicer car, and was, in fact, really a doctor. This woman, who was an administrator in this hospital, had lied about being a doctor. Lied. And people still thought she was a doctor. She didn't have any doctorate. She didn't have any credentials. She'd bullcrapped her way into the job. That's how good these... You think that some of these people that are calling themselves doctors out there are really doctors? If they're good enough, if they're psychopaths who can lie, look you right in the eye and lie, and you swear to God, man, you'd follow them anywhere. That's what this woman did, man.
God, are you kidding me, man? That guy, is he nuts still?
Is he nuts still? I don't know, man.
Man, that's low, man.
I said during the pre-show, I said, every day in America, somebody's getting their ass kicked. I mean, physically, someone's getting beat up. I don't know how many beat-ups there are. I don't know how many people are getting their asses kicked. But I'd be willing to bet money that of all of the people in America that are getting their ass beat up on any given day, one half have got to be sociopaths that have stepped over the line one too many times, and someone has said, you know what, that's it. What are you talking about? That's it. Let's go. Boom! You know.
That guy just lied too much.
Yeah. If you call a sociopath on his lies... You know, and I'm not saying kicking his ass is going to solve a problem, because what he's going to do is he's going to say, how dare... Sociopaths are never wrong. It's never their fault. They didn't do anything wrong. Anybody that intrudes or anyone that steps over the line with them, they see you as, why did you... Can you believe that guy kicked my ass? No, I got it in for him. Well, you know, so it goes. But I was reading this book, and I actually highlighted a part of the book that I showed to the... I put it right up to the camera during the pre-show, and where is that, bud?
It's on your iPhone where you put the Kindle.
It kindled?
What do you mean a Kindle, man? That's a Kindle.
It ain't called Kittle.
What's it called?
Kindle. Kittle. I got it on my Kittle. I got it on my Kindle, sociopath next door, but the highlighted portion is here, and I will read as follows. In fact, where are my glasses? In fact... A refusal to see the results of one's bad behavior as having anything to do with oneself, consistent irresponsibility, in the language of the American Psychiatric Association, is a cornerstone of the antisocial personality diagnosis. So if you know someone who consistently is not wrong, consistently is not responsible, consistently didn't do something, they're a sociopath. They can't take responsibility, man. It's impossible. So here's another one. Here's another test, okay?
Yeah.
A guy's driving to work, and he's on his way to a very important meeting, and he suddenly remembers my dog. I left my dog without any food and any water, and I'm going to be gone overnight because I have to get to this meeting. Then I got to catch a plane. I'm going to go to San Francisco, wherever the hell, and I got an overnight meeting, and I forgot to water my dog, and I forgot to give my dog food.
Yeah, he didn't turn around. He's a sociopath.
Well, hold on. He says, I can't do it. I cannot do that. I you know how much money I spent on that dog? That dog has its papers. That dog is, what do they call it, you know, American Kennel Club. I mean, he's got his papers. He, that dog's worth $2,400. I bought that dog as a puppy. I am turning around. I've got to feed that dog. He's going to risk not making his meeting. He may even risk missing his plane, although probably not. But he's going back. He's going to feed that dog. He's going to give that dog water. Because what are people going to think of him if he comes home and his dog is dead? Now, what do you think of that guy?
What?
Do you think he's a sociopath or not?
No, I'd say he's not, because he's coming back taking care of the dog. Yeah.
You're wrong. He is a sociopath.
Why?
Because of the reasons that he's going back to help the dog. He's not going back because he cares about the dog. You would, and I would, and Robert, we would go back, and we would say, well, at least me and Robert, I don't know about you, bud.
I'd go back because I love the dog.
Okay. We would go back and say, oh, my God, poor Fluffy. Or whatever the hell the dog's name is.
My dog's name's Jesse.
Fine. Poor Jesse. I can't leave my poor Jesse. That poor guy, he's not going to have any water or food. That poor doggy. I'm going to turn around and help my buddy. He's my dog. That's what a normal person with a conscience says. A sociopath will say the following thing. I can't leave that dog without food and water. People are going to think that I'm a scumbag. They're going to think that I don't take care of. That's going to be bad for me. My image is going to be hurt. Or I'm not going to leave that dog without. If it dies, I'm out $2,400. That dog cost me a lot of money when I got, you know. This guy's thinking of every single solitary reason not to leave the dog except for the basic human reason, which is I can't let that dog die. That's my dog. Now, it seems normal to you guys, but I'm telling you, a sociopath, when he hears you and me say that, he goes, what are you talking about? I mean, he's my dog. What do you mean he's your dog? Yeah, I know. Or he will say, yeah, I've heard this before. This is the way these people talk, so I better kind of, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that too, yeah.
So you're saying that they don't even know what it feels like to have a feeling?
Exactly. They don't know what it feels like, unless they feel sorry for themselves. Unless they feel sorry for themselves, all right? It's a great book, man. Check it out. Now, I don't ordinarily, you know, go on about books because, frankly, I read are comic books. But
what's it called again?
It's called The Sociopath Next Door, Dr. Martha Stout. She's in Boston. And by the way, I want to get her email because I have a couple. There's only one thing about her book that bothers me. She's going on about, yes, you know, how killing is actually not a normal human thing to do, that through various studies they proved that we don't want to kill and that we avoid killing, and she used statistics from the military. She didn't exactly do it 100% because she was taking stats from a time when there was conscription, meaning the draft, and now there isn't. So we have soldiers who have a conscience who go to war because their conscience tells them to defend the country. So in any event, that aside, it's a pretty good book. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Some news to talk about here. What's with Kane, man? Now Kane's got a woman that he had an affair with for 13 years. We should be so lucky. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're done. Oh, my God, we're done with our Cyber Monday. You better change that, bud.
Gotta get on a website and change it out.
Yep, Monday is done, so it's now Tuesday, so just remove it, dude. You don't have to do anything other than just freaking remove it. Okay, bud? There you go. Just punch that button. There you go. So our Cyber Monday promotion is over with on the website, but nonetheless, you can still go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and pick up your Phil stuff. You know, Christmas is right around the corner, and of course, Christmas is always right around the corner, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say, even in January, right around the corner. You could say it's in June, it's right around the corner.
It's just right around the corner. You know, yes, today is the first day of summer. Christmas is right around the corner. So get yourself your Phil Hendry gear. You go to our website, go to the shop, get a hat, get a shirt, get all the Ted's of Beverly Hills, which I'm wearing it on the video cast right now, or Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, which I, by the way, I got to tell my crew, Dan and Fred, your shirts are in the mail. And they are, seriously. We want to, and there's our, we want to put our meat in your mouth is the slogan. So you can get that. You can get our best of CDs, soon to be made into downloads. That's right. That's coming to our website. So you'll be able to download our best of legacy material. And we also have our coffee mugs and shot glasses. So it's all over there at philhenryshow.com. In the news, and there's been, it's mostly political stuff. The Black Friday stuff we dealt with there with Dr. Ron Tarner and his poor son and his ex-girlfriend. What was that about anyway?
Yeah, he's talking about his ex-girlfriend. She's still hanging around.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. It's not for nothing I went into talking about sociopaths after having Ron on the air, and my ex-girlfriend still wants to hang around. Well, if that's the case, then she can babysit my son. What human being would have so little self-respect? Well, I guess it happens. I guess it happens.
You better tell me some people don't go do that?
Some people are that pathetic, yeah. Some people are that pathetic. You know, they are used. They allow themselves to be used. They think they can be used, that if they do that, the person will love them. They don't know that the person that's using them is just going to keep on using them. It'll never end. Speaking of being used, poor Herman Cain. No, anyway, an Atlanta-area woman said in a television interview aired on Monday that she had a 13-year affair with Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain. Ginger White told Fox 5 Atlanta, "It wasn't complicated. I was aware that he was married. And I was also aware I was involved in a very inappropriate situation or relationship. However, I did know that someday I'd be able to make plenty of money off of this guy if he ever ran for president." She didn't say.
She didn't say.
No, I just made that up. I made up that last part. She told the station the physical relationship ended 13 years and it's a purely physical relationship? Bull crap. She thinks that she's doing him a favor. No 13-year relationship's purely physical. Well, anyway, she told the station the physical relationship ended 8 months ago. Isn't that convenient? About when Mr. Cain announced his presidential run. Did he dump her? Did he say, "Okay, baby, that's it. That's the end of that"? Even before the Atlanta station broadcast its report, Mr. Cain, 65 years of age, which they point out here in the Wall Street Journal because, go man, 13-year relationship. Mr. Cain appeared on CNN denying the claims of the woman, who is now in her mid-40s. He said he knew her, but that the two didn't have a sexual relationship. Now, folks, now what's going on now? She said she had sex with this guy for 13 years. He said, nope, didn't happen. Now, what is, you know, what we've learned is the following. From Clinton, we learned this. I didn't have sex with her. Well, it was oral. Well, okay, but I thought you guys were talking about, well, wait a minute, man. There isn't a human being that I know. There isn't a human being on the face of the earth that I know, and I don't want to speak for everybody, that doesn't consider oral sex to be sex, that doesn't consider getting oral sex from another woman cheating on your wife. That is just as flat out clear as a bell. Anybody that doesn't think so, you may not think it's bad. You may not think it's wrong. You may not think, but I'm telling you right now, it's cheating on your old lady. Don't worry about it. Don't give me this, you know, I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. And when he laid that out and everybody, you know, of course the kids then, you know, all of our kids, well, if that's what the president thinks, I mean, you couldn't have done more damage. It's sex, Jack. Now comes this. She says she did. He says that he didn't. Are we going to be treated to another one of these? Well, if you're talking about oral sex, well, No, man. You can't play that. We've already been down that road. We already know that that's sex. Or do we?
I don't know, man. You, just like you said, a lot of people don't think so.
Everybody thinks so, but just except for a little kid.
The kids are the ones that went out and said, well, it's not sex, I can do it because the president said, and I mean, that was the damage that was done there, I think. There's not an adult, I honestly don't believe there's an adult that got past the third grade that doesn't understand that that is an actual sex act, and that is engaging in a sex act, whether you're a passive recipient or not.
What do you mean, passive?
Well, exactly. So, he says, no, it didn't happen. I knew her, but we didn't have a sexual relationship. Are you ready for this? The American public is tired of dirty politics and smear tactics, as evidenced by their tremendous outpouring of support for me, my family, and my campaign this past month, Mr. Kane said in a statement. Mr. Kane's lawyer, Lynn Wood, said in a statement that an accusation of private alleged consensual conduct between adults is not a proper subject of inquiry by the media or the public. Wait a second. An accusation of private alleged consensual... Okay, we'll be back with more of this. Falderall, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Maybe it's a sociopath.
Could be.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number. Now... You guys say you've got him on the line.
Well, I said he's near the Bob Bakian.
I know it's Bob Bakian. Is he at Herman Cain's residence, or where is he?
No, all I know, he said it was someplace near where Herman Cain was, and there might be the lady with him.
There might be the lady with him. Get him on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob Bakian reporting. So we are hold on for just a minute. I don't hear the music.
I don't have the eyewitness music is not playing because I wanted to get some information.
Well, what information? You know, Phil, if I'm going to go on the air, I've got to have the eyewitness music playing so that I can give you the report. Otherwise, I can't. This is Bob Bakian reporting.
What did he do?
Hung up.
Get him back on the line. What's this bull crap? He's got to have the music playing.
He won't do his report unless he's got the news music.
That sounds like so much horse dung.
Bob, yeah, I got to put you on. Mr. Henry said, I know Mr. Henry said got to be on the thing.
Bob Bakian here, Phil. And I don't hear the music, so I'm...
What is he doing? He's just hanging up?
Yeah, I guess he's hanging up. Hold on for a minute. Hey, Bob, you're not on the air. Hold on. Are you going to better put a music on? What? What? Oh, yeah? Yeah, I seen that. Well, no, we're going to go to D.C. and
will you hold on for a minute and get him on the line?
Wait a minute. Phil wants to talk to you.
Bob Bakian, Phil.
Hey, listen, can I ask you a question?
Not without the music.
All right, well, put his freaking music on then.
You gonna let that guy tell you what to do?
Yes, I'm gonna let him tell me what to do. If that. Put it on there, will you? Thank you. God. Bob, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. This is Bob Bakian reporting here from the site of an alleged sighting between Herman Cain and a woman that he supposedly is having an affair with the last 13 years. We haven't seen any such sightings so far, but he is inside having dinner with a woman that is not his wife. We don't know who that could be. It could be Candy Ellison as his campaign manager. It could be one of the people that... Okay, there's no music. There's no music. No music.
Why'd the music turn off?
What? I thought...
Don't think. Just keep the music on so this jackass will give me the rest of the report. Now you got to call him back, right?
Yeah. Done one of those radio phones, too, because it's kind of tough.
Well, that's great. So when you hang up on the guy...
I didn't hang up. Bob, here, listen. Is that okay? Is that good? All right.
All right, anyway, Bob Bakian reporting here. And again, Phil, we did see Herman Cain as he was entering the restaurant.
Bob, I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead, Phil.
By the way, what was that?
When I hear the music, I feel as if I'm in my safe place.
Okay. Herman Cain, you said, was in the restaurant with a woman that you said might be his campaign manager and might not. Is he there?
No.
Why?
The music ran out.
If the music runs out, hit it again. I can't believe I got a freaking moron like that that's got to have his music playing. If the music runs out, hit it again, bud, okay?
All right, you want me to play it now?
You might as well have it rolling so that it'll be there so he'll feel comfortable. Yeah.
Bob. Yeah, Bob, here it is.
Oh, thank God. This is Bob Bakian reporting. So what was your question, Phil?
Is Herman Cain, is he the woman that he was with? Not his wife, but not necessarily a girlfriend?
That is correct, Phil. From what we understand, Herman Cain could very well have been at dinner this evening with one of his campaign aides, Candy Ellison, who's been with him for quite some time. However, it could have been this woman that he's trying to get together with. And turn the music off, because I don't want to be on the air.
What happened?
You got to know, I think he lost his place.
Yeah, I got embarrassed, so he just won't be on.
That's the last time I used that guy, okay? You know?
But he's got really good information and everything.
Oh, sure he does. He's got really good information, so long as there's music playing. No, man. I can't play that. That's too weird. Way too weird. Don't tell me.
Yeah, Bob, just one more time. One more time. Yeah, but just do it one more time. Yeah, Mr. Henry's here. Yeah, but just do it one more time. Just one more time. See? I got the music. Ain't that the music, what you want to hear? Okay. And go!
This is Bob Binky reporting here from the Traffic Mobile 5. As Herman Cain was seen going into a restaurant with a woman that may not be his wife. Yes, it may not be his wife, but then again, it might not be any big deal at all because it could be someone that works for his campaign staff. It could very well be a campaign staffer that he's simply taking out to dinner. It could be, well, it could be a man for all we know. It could be a man in a dress. We haven't really looked at that. Herman Cain could be going out with a man wearing a skirt. So we have no real idea as to whether or not Herman Cain at this time is being unfaithful to his wife or he's simply being unfaithful to his own sexual orientation and trying something different. Then Bob Bacon reporting. That feels so good, that music.
I don't want him on the air anymore because I'm afraid he's going to have an orgasm.
You're going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah. So Herman Cain is got, you know, the cat's got some problems. What can I tell you? But making good pizza ain't one of them, because I'll tell you right now, I'm about to get myself a slice right now.
Godfather pizza's good?
I don't know. I've never had it. Anyway, the woman claims she had a 13-year relationship with Herman Cain, and he says, no, she didn't. And the lawyer said, and here's the thing that drives me out of my mind, the lawyer, Lynn Wood, said in a statement, an accusation of private alleged consensual conduct between adults is not a proper subject of inquiry by the media or the public. So in other words, Herman Cain says, no, I did not have a sexual relationship with her, but his lawyer is hedging his bets by saying an accusation of alleged conduct is not. So in other words, if he did, it's nobody's business. I'm beginning to think maybe it isn't, you know?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. I'm beginning to think maybe it's just none of. I'm beginning to think that the world has, the world has changed that much, where a guy who is a powerful man having a sexual affair, you know, being unfaithful to his wife, I guess that just doesn't matter, does it? I mean, I hate to say it, you know.
Yeah, well, they say a man had like Eisenhower, all them have women, you know.
I know. I mean, I. At what point do we just admit it to ourselves? At what point do we just throw up our hands and we say, well, that's just the way it is? And does it reflect badly on a guy? I mean, you know what I'm saying? In other words, if Eisenhower had a girlfriend and FDR had women and, Kennedy had women, and God knows, we might as well just go ahead and throw in all of them there. I don't know.
You think Reagan did?
I don't know. Probably. I know that we're supposed to believe that him and Nancy were just so tight. I got money that says Reagan had relations. Yes, I believe that Reagan did.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? I mean, Nancy Reagan, they was in love and everything.
Yes. I know that there's a mythology that we're supposed to buy into. And then there's the reality. There's the mythology, there's the feel-good, and then there's the reality. Feel good is invented so that we all have a nice narrative that we can believe in about our presidents and about our country. But as we get, you know, as we move down the line in terms of history and maturity as a people and as a nation, and we recognize, well, let's face it, these guys had affairs. Going all the way back to the beginning of the country, they had affairs. I'm not talking about Washington. But we know that in Washington's cabinet, we know that Alexander Hamilton got hung out to dry. He was cheating on his wife during a particular summer when they were out of town. And then, you know, all the way on down the line, maybe that's just the way it is, man. And you can't change it, and it'll never be different, and we might as well accept it. Is that it? You know?
Yeah, but you vote for a guy like that, then you're basically saying marriage don't mean nothing.
Well, that's true, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. You got to at least, you know, say marriage means something. at least come out and say, well, everybody may be doing it, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to vote for it.
I know, but I mean, when are we going to admit to ourselves and to everybody that there's something fundamentally wrong, not with marriage, there's something wrong with the way we view marriage. There's something wrong with the way, I don't know. You know that they say that any man and woman that have been married for 50 years, and there are people who have been married for 50 years. I believe that this is the statistic. If not, please forgive me. You can check this. If you've been married for at least 50 years, odds are, and it's a sure bet, the man has been unfaithful at least once.
Well, 50 years? Who's married for 50 years?
A lot of people are. If you think about it, you get married in your 20s, and now you're in your 70s, sure, you get married for 50 years. It's a sure bet the man's been unfaithful. Now, I don't know that that's true. I'm just quoting one particular study. Now we have all of this stuff about sexual impropriety. And what is it all about? It's about powerful men. Henry Kissinger very famously said once, and maybe you guys know this and maybe you don't, it was quoted in the movie Nixon, and it was something that Kissinger did say when he was asked by Mao Zedong how a fat man got so many women. And Kissinger said something along the lines of power is the most, power is an aphrodisiac, meaning position of power. Men who are powerful, that's an aphrodisiac for women. So now you take a guy who's a successful businessman, who's running for president of the United States. This is some rarefied air. This is a guy that's got the national eye. He has the this is something that for any woman, and you know that women are nest builders. What does that mean? They build the nest. They want a solid foundation for the nest, for the eggs. Even if they're, you know, beyond childbearing years, it's still women want the nest, and they want someone that's going to help them build that nest. That's what the man does. He has a position of some power in this world where he can build one holy hell of a nest, you know. A guy like Herman Cain's going to be attractive to women. John Kennedy. I don't give a damn. Barack Obama. You name it. And every last one of these guys, man, every time we open up a history book, we have some new version of what the hell happened. Now we got Eisenhower was cheating on Mamie. Now we got Roosevelt. Now we got God knows who. So maybe there's something wrong with the way we're looking at marriage. Maybe we're all a bunch of chumps. Maybe we're all a bunch of children.
I don't know, man. You say it's impossible to be faithful to a lady.
I like the way you put that, bud. Impossible to be faithful to a lady. I don't know. I'm just saying that the more I read about this stuff, the more I hear, the more that I'm exposed to the actual news, you know, and I don't know any more than that because I've been married one time in my life, and I was faithful to my wife the whole 9 years. But you know what? That was only 9 years. That was only 9 years. 20 years? 30 years? 15 years? I don't know. You got me. All right, we'll be back here with our concluding segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What do we got here? Newt Gingrich? Nah. NATO? Nah. Romney? Nah. Egypt? Oh, God. What else? What else? Come on. Come on. Come on. Conrad Murray's mother pleads for a light sentence? Maybe. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Not kidding you, man. I was telling the guys, you know, Bob Bakian, he can't go on the air unless he hears the following thing, right? Do that again, bud, will you? And get the sound up.
Sorry.
Bob Bakian can't go on the air unless he hears this. All right. Now, to most of us, this sounds like a news theme, doesn't it? But I was telling my crew that this is not a news theme, that this is music from the movie Cool Hand Luke. Now, we all, generations of people have grown up with this music as news music. Very few people identify this as music from the tarring the road scene in Cool Hand Luke, but it is. And the first time I saw the movie, Cool Hand Luke, I went, wait a minute, that's the news music. I don't think it was the first time I saw the movie. It was many years later. I said, wait a second. I heard this. Now, here is the actual scene. Thank you, Johnny Bean. Johnny sent this to us. This is from the movie Cool Hand Luke. This is as they're tarring the road. And if you remember the film Cool Hand Luke, it's Paul Newman and George Kennedy, and all those guys are on a chain gang in wherever the hell it is, Georgia, and their job is to go out and tar the road. And Luke has said, let's haul ass, let's tar this road and do it really fast, and we'll have all this time left. So here's the music. But, told you.
That's the end of it.
So that was, you know.
I thought that was like a news theme.
It was a news theme. It's from Cool Hand Luke. And some of these comments, people saying, wait a second, that's the news music from the Australian National News. Yeah, I'm sure it's from the Australian National News. Is somebody else saying, wait, that was the news, that was the eyewitness news with Roger Grimsby. That's if you lived in New York, I guess. If you lived in L.A., it was the news theme from Jerry Dunphy and Christine Lund.
That's what I remember.
Well, right. I mean, any eyewitness news team, that's what they use. So, now, it's interesting, in these times that we live in with sampling, you know what I'm saying?
What about fair use?
Well, yeah, fair use. Fair use. I don't know what fair use. Fair, that ain't fair use. That's like you. That's boom, boom. That's over and over and over and over again, man. That's you're using that music. They must have got the rights from the filmmakers. I got money that says they had to have gotten the rights from the filmmakers. There's no way, because they've been using that music for 40-plus years on news. Yes, we're tarring a road, but we're also doing the news. I'm Cool Hand Luke. You know.
Ain't that the movie with I Can Be a Nice Guy or I Can Switch?
I can be a nice guy or I can switch.
No, I can be a guy or I can switch.
No, it isn't.
I can be a guy or I can switch.
No, it's not I can be a guy or I can switch. It's I can be a nice guy or I can be a real mean son of a bitch.
That's it. I remember that.
I can be a guy or I can switch. That's the guy. That was Strother Martin, a great actor, great character actor. And he was the chain gang. He was the head of the... He was the warden for the thing.
Yeah, hey, you were the one that is that a man get rabbit in his blood.
Yeah, he would say, now when a man gets rabbit in his blood, because Cool Hand Luke, played by Paul Newman, his mother died. And so they stuck Luke in the box overnight. They stuck him in the sweat box because they were afraid he was going to get rabbit in his blood and split, try to go see his mother, you know, go to his mother's funeral. Or just split, just get out of the camp, you know. So they put him in the box overnight, and, you know, everybody thought that was pretty cruel because, you know, the guy just lost his mother, and now they're going to stick him in the box, but they were doing it because Strother Martin goes, now, a man loses his mother, that man get rabbit in his blood.
You say it like that?
Yeah, that's how he says it. And just a bunch of junk, you know. And you know, also, that was the very famous line, what we have here is a failure to communicate. That comes from... Cool Hand Luke. All right, why did we get sidetracked by that dung?
Because you were playing that, man. I want to find all about that. That blew me away, man.
Why does that blow you away?
Because they didn't pay for it or nothing.
I don't know. Something tells me they paid for it. Like I said, there's a certain law. There's a certain part of the law that covers sampling now. Sampling is something along the lines of less than 10 seconds worth of music. You can use it. It's called fair use, I think. And then, but that is an extended piece of music from that film, and I don't think that that's covered under fair use. And they use it over and over and over again. So I think what happened was some kind of a deal was cut with the filmmakers. I don't know. In clearing occupied site, time is on LAPD side, Chief says. On Monday, city leaders take a measured approach in efforts to close down City Hall encampment. That's right, Occupy LA today, or I should say Monday was the day they were going to go in with baseball bats and billy clubs swinging and bust head. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, they'd be so bitching if they did.
No, it wouldn't. After a flurry of eviction threats, street protests, and court maneuvering, Occupy LA remained standing on the City Hall Monday evening, prompting debate about the caution displayed by city leaders seeking to avoid violent clashes seen in other cities. Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck said on Monday he remains committed to the restrained approach, noting that the encampment has shrunk by about 150 tents in recent days, and that police have so far managed to avoid aggressive confrontation with protesters. Officers will clear the camp when they can, do it effectively and efficiently, and with minimal force. Time is on the department's side, said Beck. You know, one of the things about tough economic times is we have people camping out places to make a statement. And I told you guys about the bonus marchers in Washington, the World War I veterans. And we've had homeless people camping out when times were difficult for homeless people. And we've had a lot of campouts, you know. In fact, I camp out when times are good because that's the only time that I can afford a campsite, you know.
You gotta bribe the guy.
You do have to bribe the guy because there's no campsites left in California in the summertime. All right, we'll be back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Be a part of the Phil Henry Show extended family. Be a part of our first and second generations of family members. And, of course, pick up your Phil Henry gear at the Phil Henry Show shop. Until tonight, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.